What's up, everybody? It is not your boy, Ike Feldman, solo. A lot of people on Long Island, where I was born and raised before I moved to the city and then came back to Long Island, a lot of people called me Gary. No joke. Middle name, Gary. Actually, was at Sarah Jiu-Jitsu, and Danny Pizzo, who got his black belt recently, started with him at Maxim Jiu-Jitsu. He calls me Gary. I introduced myself to the Law MMA team, to the Sarah Jiu-Jitsu team, as Isaac. He yells Gary across the gym. Now some people at Sarah's call me Gary. So with that being said, this is the first repetition episode show of the Harry and Gary show. What's up?
How about
Harry?
That? Not much, brother. It's good to be here. We've been talking about this for a minute now. We've been trying to put some plans together, and here we are. And we got some big things cooking, big things coming down the pipeline. I'm excited for it. But yes, I'm Harry Mack of the Bookie's Basement. I've been out here covering that Long Island Northeast MMA scene for a little bit now. We figured we'd give this thing a damn go.
You know, there's an old adage, if you can't beat them, join them. I feel like we're joining forces. This is your territory with the local guys, the Boomies, the Charlie Cannibals, that Greek kid that I can't pronounce his name, Pompos.
Pompos, Charlampos Gregorio.
Woo!
How about that?
In 6 months' time, I
fucking get at me, John Anik.
What a start. Yes, sir. So the Harry and Gary episode one, you know, Brendan Schaub, Theo Vaughn, they all have their solo podcast, and then they do the King and the Sting podcast. So this could be our version of that. We are going to rip on each other. We're going to rip on our guests. We're going to rip on social media, current events. I feel like this is just a match made in heaven. And what a beautiful time, man. The fact that MMA is just solely number one on the docket. We are past the NFL season. We have about 3 months before people start to worry about their fantasy draft. So it feels good to be in the driver's seat in a time where we can really hone in on our craft. And before, like you said, the bigger things happen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got some big fights coming down the pipeline that, what, we got International Fight Week coming up. We got a pay-per-view that was this past weekend that we'll touch on.
Why is that in Vegas? Why is the International Fight Week in Vegas? It's 115 degrees.
I think it always used to be. It used to be Vegas, and then last year I think they did Abu Dhabi because of COVID stuff. But I think it was always in Vegas.
Yeah.
But they also used to do three events a week for Fight Week, and I don't think they do that anymore either. They used to do Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, which was awesome.
I remember
the more violence, the better.
That was UFC 200. It was you had the Ultimate Fighter finale. I think it was Joanna and Claudia Gadelha. And then you had next night was Rafael Dos Anjos versus Eddie Alvarez. And then the next night was UFC 200. TJ Dillashaw was like the eighth down from the main event. So. I miss those two or three time per week on the International Fight Week cards. But, man, anything else you want to add before we dive into UFC 274 with the window dressing? I'm sure we're going to learn a lot more about each other as we roll on and keep recording.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I guess thinking about it, the only difference I can think of now is that now we get cards basically every week, right? Where I guess back then we just weren't getting them as often. So maybe that's why they were able to stack them together like that. But, you know, that's not relevant. I just I'm an easily infatuated, easily distracted person, as we'll learn.
Well, it comes with the age. I feel like you're a little younger than me. So can you give a graduation year? I'm 07 from high school.
2014.
Holy smokes. I feel lucky that I graduated right June 2007. I think the iPhone came out.
I consider myself lucky that I grew up like as technology grew up. Like I grew up with technology. I didn't grow up with technology. You know what I mean? Like Like, I, like you see kids now and it's like you got an iPad in your hands at when you're 2 years old. Like, I remember when my dad got like a BlackBerry for the first time when I was like 10 years old. You know what I mean? Like that shit, like I came of age with that stuff. So I feel like I was the last generation to not be like fully encompassed by it from the moment you come out of the womb, you know?
I think I would have not been in summer school 3 summers in a row if I had a smartphone. I'm like, my wife, she's not retaking. She's finishing up trying to reach her master's. She's like, man, these kids are idiots if they're not all passing with 4.0 GPAs. Everything is on YouTube, like seminars, classes.
You got all the information in the world at the tip of your finger.
It's ridiculous. But talking about some things that are on the tip of my fingers, it's it's no money. It's no bets. I suck this weekend. But I mean, regardless, that's the beauty of the sport. Win, lose in the betting realm. I picked Gaethje. I picked Namajunas. I picked Ferguson. I was looking like money.
Silly. I did well on this card.
He was picking him apart. He dropped.
He did look like vintage Tony for a little bit in the first round. And I thought, yeah, I mean, listen, if you followed Michael Chandler's career since the Bellator days.
He threw, I mean, a head kick, whatever, he did an Anderson Silva. How often does that happen? 10 years?
Well, look, so if you followed Michael Chandler's career through the Bellator days and through his come up, every 3 or 4 fights or so, he's always been supremely talented, incredibly athletic, built like a fucking gorilla, super quick, super heavy hands. But every 3 or 4 fights, his body just kind of randomly fails him. You know what I'm saying? Like the Will Brooks fight where his fucking leg, that was the Primus fight where his leg gives out. Will Brooks got him twice. Like every a fucking Pitbull just knocked him out cold. Like not that that's, you know, Pitbull's Pitbull. Pitbull's an incredible Eddie fighter Albers in his own right. Yeah, war with Eddie. But every now and again, Chandler's body seems to just fail him. So when he went down in that first round, I thought for a second, like, oh man, you know, he took a lot of damage in that Gaethje fight. Like this might just be the fight that we're due for his chin to just fail him. But nope, recovers, comes back and punts Tony Ferguson's head 60 fucking yards. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah,
that was one of the most violent knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
100%.
For a guy who's never been knocked out, I know he got stopped in the Gaethje fight. He was stopped on the feet, but for a guy who's never been knocked out like Tony, who's always just been such a warrior, such a tough guy. I mean, I don't know if I ever saw him going out like that, man. Jesus.
I know. I was texting my friend who, again, last time I spoke with you, who was following UFC 273 with the Aljo Peter Yan fight. The same friend who picked against Aljo, who's still like Team Russia for some reason. He's like, dude, he's like, Tony's got no chin. We're talking back and forth on a text leading up to this. I go, what are you talking about? I go,
right. It's like, come on, man. You start watching the sport in like 2020 or something. Give me a break.
Pretty much.
I mean, dude, like, Tony's run was legendary. That run through lightweight up to those canceled Habib fights. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like one of the best winning streaks we have ever seen in the sport. You can never take that away from the guy. It's criminal that he never got a true title shot. And the promotion did him very dirty and all of that. But I just hope
he missed weight. That wasn't all missed weight at 209.
No. But when he hurt his knee and all that shit, like, you know what I mean? They definitely, they didn't do him any favors
to face Anthony Pettis about 6. And this is why we need to be in person so we can hear each other this over the Zoom crap. We'll get it going eventually. But 6 months later, after blowing the freaking ligament off his bone due to an
incredible fight
set. Guys, put some like a fluorescent wires, first of all, around the TV studio. Can we figure that out? Oh, Tony was probably wearing his sunglasses. He denies that he was wearing his sunglasses inside, but I doubt that. But I remember that April Fool's 2018. That was a wild week. But he came back 6.5 months later after that. He took about a year off for this fight. I thought that was a great move by him leading up.
Absolutely.
Mine, especially the issues in his personal life, with the company and his business life. Maybe we could get to the Conor stuff, but I thought it was a great move to take a year off, clear his head. I thought it would be relaxed, smooth, especially in the interviews in the lead up. He said that he changed teams now, changed coaches. He's listening to himself now. He's going to flow, be that unique Tony that we heard. He wasn't himself in Charles Oliveira. It just seemed mentally wasn't there in the Beneil Dariush.
Tony's always going to be one of those guys to me where there's always going to be a big what if attached to him. Where like, what if he worked with like a high level gym and a nutritionist and all of that shit?
Eddie
for his
Bravo's
whole career.
Pretty high level.
No, of course, but you know what I mean. Like he doesn't. A lot of, there were jokes and memes for years. Like Tony goes out and trains and he just kicks the shit out of a metal pole. You know what I mean? Like what if instead of doing shit like that, he was doing more traditional training? And maybe
got to give him some credit, man. I've heard some stories.
Of course, he's a lunatic. But you know what I mean? Like,
he's working
like
in Big Bear. He's working out. In big gyms. I mean, look at the Rafael Dos Anjos fight in New Mexico City. Like he dominated RDA for 5 rounds at elevation. Like put the
pace for sure. I just think maybe if he paid a little bit more attention and put a little bit more into trying to preserve his longevity and his body.
What do you
know? But
for him?
No, I'm talking about now. I think maybe the drop off would be less steep. You know what I mean? I think maybe there would be more longevity. But was incredible.
I think that war with Gaethje, he almost caught him. I think it was at the end of the second round with that uppercut where he literally just wheeled it from hell.
I mean, Gaethje changes people's careers, man. You look at James Vick, you look at Michael Johnson. Like Gaethje is one of the only guys who like he puts a beating on you like that. And some guys are just never the same after that.
Not Chandler, apparently.
Apparently not.
I believe the mental side of it gets so overlooked, and great way by a describing of the fight, the knockout by you. Daniel Cormier was trying to get there, but he fell at the goal line. perfect with this football reference because he said, "Oh, he did a field goal. He did a field goal." I'm like, "No, he punted."
That was a punt.
It was pissing me off. I was screaming at the TV. But yeah, you described it perfectly. It was a punt. I wanted to look at Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler. The rumor is that, what would it be, 6-7? Yeah, he says that he got an 8-figure deal with one championship. He's hinted at $10 million. Okay, that makes sense.
I don't believe any of one's finances, personally. Wow. That's a gigantic money laundering
operation. You believe
the
viewership?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So you believe everything made in China is just...
No. Don't put that on me. But I love One's product too. I think One might genuinely be my favorite promotion outside the UFC. The 4-ounce Muay Thai is fantastic. Their kickboxing product is fantastic. The submission grappling is awesome. I love having cards with all of that shit mixed in. It's a true combat sports promotion. And I greatly, greatly enjoy the product, but I do not believe a word that comes out of Chatri's mouth.
Wow. Wow. Shout out.
I mean, I don't believe a word that comes out of most promoters' mouths, but especially Chatri.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had a much bigger viewership than Bellator. Like, I really wouldn't.
I would believe that. I would absolutely believe that. And I mean, the social numbers bear that out. But I also don't know how you can directly correlate social performance to actual viewership. You know what I mean?
And we're going down a tangent here. I don't know if you saw the DAZN numbers with the Matchroom and MVP promotions with Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor. They were saying it was 1.5 viewership, but then Dana White, like he releases numbers on the Jake Paul Woodley. And maybe it could be completely the YouTube age that every kid's got an iPad and a phone at 12 years old.
I think Jake Paul draws for like Zoomers. Jake Paul draws, which is unfortunate.
5,000 pay-per-view buys, Dana White, for the Jake Paul Woodley fight. I don't believe that. Like you're saying that maybe one isn't bringing in 20 million viewers, but on the end, I don't believe that 55,000 people are the only people who bought the Jake Paul Woodley. And then
I would agree with that.
Serrano and Taylor.
Awesome. Awesome fight. Great for women's boxing. Great for boxing in general. I mean, I think he saw Kaposa, one of the best MMA Twitter accounts out there. He was in the building.
Where is this guy too? He's on Long Island.
Yeah, he's a Long Island guy. He's hiding around here somewhere. But he was in the building at MSG and he said it was the most rowdy crowd he's ever seen at a combat sports event, which says a lot coming from that guy.
Wow. Damn.
I mean, those Irish fans go hard. I think every promotion should have to do at least one show in Dublin every single year.
Yes. Can we sell out that freaking mythical soccer stadium with Max Holloway, and Connor, or Connor and Nate? Like, that's why I'm like, Connor, just say F you to the company. Dude. Do your own McGregor promotions with you and Nate as a boxing match in that freaking 80,000 soccer stadium. Like,
and dude, even those Bellator cards in Dublin were fucking awesome. That Peter Quigley walkout, the zombie walkout, one of my favorites of the last decade, with the whole fucking building belting out the words. I mean, bro, shit gives me goosebumps. That shit is awesome. Europeans in general, they do hooliganism so much better than we do here in the States.
Yeah, smoke flares and knives.
Yeah, it rules. It fucking rules, dude. They have whole gangs dedicated to like soccer teams. It's fucking awesome.
I know. What, you ever see the green screen hooligans?
I don't believe I have.
I think it's with Daniel Radcliffe. It surrounds this. Like, it's the
Oh, is that the one where he's a Nazi? I'm being serious. Didn't he do a movie where he was like a skinhead?
maybe recently.
Hand up. not apparently not.
You mean American History X?
No. Daniel Radcliffe did a movie where he was a Nazi, where he was a skinhead.
Okay. Do you know the name of that?
I'm looking it up. Talk us through it. I'm looking it up.
I Daniel hope the research theme
Radcliffe is Nazi movie. Imperium 2016. Yep.
Wow. I did not see that. Was
Daniel
it
Radcliffe neo-Nazi thriller? No, it was not good.
Now we are going to a tangent, and
yes we are, but it's good to know I'm not like schizophrenic or something. That was a real movie that did exist and did happen.
Now before we get back online, let's continue this tangent. Did you get offended when I wrote, man, you need to channel that brain power? Because I did delete it and I was like, man, I'm trying to be positive. Should this be a DM text?
oh no, dude, that was fucking funny. Dude, I mean, listen, if you can't joke at your own
there, man, I think you got a V8 there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But if you can't joke and laugh at your own expense, then what are you doing in life? You know what I mean? And the way that I see it, I consider I don't know if I'm a dumb smart guy or a smart dumb guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an intelligent person, but I'm also really fucking dumb in some aspects.
No,
I'm just
stupid sometimes. No, you're not. It's just that you're frustrated with the world around you. Fair?
Maybe that's it. I mean, I'm dumb enough to get blasted in the body by Kid Marvelous. So there's gotta be a screw or two loose up there.
Do you have share screen on your end?
Yeah, I believe I do.
Okay. If you can, have that ready, we could wrap up the, this episode of Harry and Gary number one with that, that video. That'd be great. We could do a Robin Black breakdown. But on track, what I was saying was you're saying that Eddie Alvarez didn't get the 8-figure contract, whatever. I'm sure
he got a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure he's getting paid at least very well.
It's at least 7 figures. Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on. At least 1 to 5 in that range. It has to be. Maybe it's 2. Maybe it's 3. Maybe he gets
for
one
sure
per fight. That's pretty good. That's John Jones-esque for Eddie Alvarez.
For sure, and he deserves it. Well, yeah. OGs, man, a true OG of the sport. It always makes me happy to see those guys getting paid. You know what
my
I mean?
My point is, I looked at Michael Chandler when he came into the UFC, like, holy crap. You described the Pitbull fights, Alvarez fight, the Hendo fights. Before the Hooker fight, I go, man, he's got a lot of mileage on him. Yeah, he's in tremendous shape. We see all these guys in tremendous shape. But how does his knees feel? How does his neck,
right,
back? He wrestled at Mizzou for free.
Yeah, dude.
He won a long friggin' Tyron Woodley. You know how long ago that is?
That team was stacked, dude. Askren, Woodley, and fucking Michael Chandler. I mean, holy shit. The talent in that room.
Gregor Gillespie, who's this really scary dude, he said, when I wrestled D1, was a national champion. That's the hardest thing I ever did in my life. He said, that was serving my sentence. My point is, Chandler had that wrestling career, had the entire Bellator career, come over to the UFC with all that mileage. I was like, okay, this might be the peak, the Dan Hooker knockout.
I think people forget that he was originally booked as the alternate for that Poirier title fight. When he first came in,
oh, oh, he, uh, It was Gaethje.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Habib. Gaethje Habib. You're so right.
Don't cut me off with false.
That's on me. That's on me. But yeah, I mean, he was originally brought into the UFC as an alternate for a title fight. And I would have loved to see him in his true prime against Habib. I think that would have been an incredible stylistic matchup.
Yes. Yes. Captain America versus Redface or whoever the guy is.
Seriously, for real, Rocky and Drago.
Well, my point is, you look at Michael Chandler's trajectory, and it's probably around the same time where Eddie Alvarez has been in one. Maybe it's been 2 or 3 years. Maybe Eddie Alvarez has like maybe a year on Chandler from switching organization post Bellator. Yeah. The mental side of it. If Michael Chandler was in one championship fighting Tony Ferguson coming off that stool after getting dominated and dropped in the first round, I don't think he's punting Tony Ferguson. I think he's counting the numbers, counting his check. He's emphasized over and over and over how much he's so happy to be on the UFC platform.
Yeah, platform. For sure.
Paddy Pimblett and Sean O'Malley are not who they are. Hamza Chimaev, he's just another Russian in PFL with the OV at the end of their name if he's not in the UFC. I really think it's mental. It's almost playing up to your audience if it's fighting in front of your mom or fighting in a field with nobody around you. I really believe that. Look at Michael Chandler, what he's doing in the UFC. Eddie Alvarez may be making more money than him. Seriously, maybe making more money than him.
Likely is.
His career has gone over the last 2 or 3 years. So I really think it's mental, and you need to respect the platform. Man, what the hell is next for Mr. Chandler?
I don't know, man. I mean, I have a take that some of my friends disagree with, but I think right now, pound for pound, Michael Chandler is the best pure prize fighter on earth. I think that he is the guy who is going to go in there and give you a Gaethje. Fucking
Gaethje.
I don't know though.
He had a head to head.
They did, but I just think right. But look what just happened. I mean, I guess that's unfair because Gaethje fucking dropped Chuck, and that was maybe the best for one round. Like that was right up there with Diaz and Daly for the best one round fight ever for me. But like Chandler is right.
That he fell over with.
He is right in that conversation with me for the best pure prize fighter on earth. A guy who, no matter what, you know you're getting your money's worth from a Michael Chandler fight. He's going to bring the entertainment. He's going to bring the action. I've never seen a boring Michael Chandler fight.
Maybe at the top. What about the promos?
Right. Electric on the mic, too. I think that's part of it, too. I think he's better than Gaethje on the mic. I think you would have to agree with that, right?
Yeah. Dude, not a skip beat. I watch all of his post-fight stuff. This guy sheds light. He's like, I'm not going to disrespect Conor for what he's done for the sport. I just want to get a chance to not knock boots with him. That would be weird. But I just want to get a chance to knock gloves with him. And it's like so respectful. And it is a breath of fresh air, especially this post peak Conor McGregor era. Like Michael Chandler. Yeah, I joke, but kind of serious in the fact that I'm saying he is kind of like Captain America.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's got that whole kind of vibe about him. I mean, I remember after the Hooker fight, he got up on the fucking, now they banned flags for some stupid reason now, but gosh, I remember after the Hooker fight, he got up on the cage with the American flag, he's fucking screaming, he's pumping his arms up in the air, like, yeah, I mean, the guy just exudes excitement. Backflip, yeah.
Or two backflips. I was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he also might be the best pure athlete in the UFC, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's tough because again, like you go back and you watch some of those old Bellator fights, and he's still so incredibly skilled. He's still got cinder blocks for hands, but he's not quite as explosive as he was back in the day. You know what I mean? I mean, in his true prime, Chandler had some of the fastest hands I have ever seen at 155 ever. And I mean, he's still a freak athlete, absolute freak in nature. I mean, Rogan says it all the time. He's built like a gorilla. I mean, go back. I think what Chucky Olives just did to Gaethje makes what Chandler did all the more impressive. When Chucky Olives is on your fucking back, the fight's over 9 times out of 10. And Chandler was able to just muscle his way out of it, just explode out of it like a moose.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't realize that fight that happened until this fight week. I was like, man, I remember watching that fight. I think it was UFC 262. And I was like, I was like, he had his back. I was like, I just remember them dropping each other, and that is it. That was it. I was like,
Chucky had his back for like 90 seconds, and there's not a lot of guys who survive 90 seconds of Chucky Olive's back control.
That's a great point. That's a great point. So speaking of, maybe we could save this.
We'll push it off for a little later. We're all over the place. It's episode one. We're still getting it down.
We are.
Although there's some fights not worth talking about even on that main card.
I mean, that's why I rather just do this now and then we can kind of pick it up
later. Yeah, just gloss over this stinky stuff.
What the hell? What pissed me off was, okay, you know what? Rogan, first of all, Joe Rogan following UFC 209. Yes.
You're so much better with the numbers than me. I don't remember the numbers of events at all. I just remember fights.
March of 2017.
Yeah.
Your boy Thompson versus Tyron Woodley. The rematch. Nothing happened for 24 minutes and 30 seconds. Tyron Woodley went back against the fence. Maybe heard the clock or the clappers. Knocks Wonderboy down, tears his knee. He wins it because that was the sole drop. Similar
right hand go burr
with Wonderboy and Darren Till. Literally, like the last round, he drops him in the last round. He wins the fight. Rogan was clamoring for years, and he still is for years and years. He goes, that was an entertaining fight because of the chess match. It was not. And then he's killing this fight in the middle of the fight. I don't know if he's in full-on podcast comedian mode, and he's just...
I think a lot of it is Rogan just... I don't think he cares as much as he used to, which, like, you know what? I can't fault him for. If I had $100 million, I probably wouldn't care as much about my fucking day job either. But
McGregor shaked everything up.
But I think it's apparent.
2016 is when Rogan stopped traveling internationally.
Right. When you go back... Right. When you go back and you watch old cards, you can literally hear the difference in Rogan's voice and how enthusiastic he is and how interested he is. And yeah, now he just like he just doesn't have that same fire for it, I guess, is the way I would put it.
Which is crazy because you hear these broadcasters like Al Michaels and who's the guy? Oh, my gosh. We're looking live. Musburger.
Musburger.
Like these guys are like 70
degenerate gambling legends,
and they're not exercising as much as Rogan. I think just Rogan's, I don't know, maybe it's just to get out of the house, just to travel a little.
I literally think it's like something he does for fun at this point, you know what I mean?
Still getting $3 million just to do 12 shows.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't be surprised, but my point is they were killing this fight already in the third round. And then, yes, it did turn out to be boring. But my point was, hold off on the criticism, guys. I mean, you have a whole audience. He was making fun of it.
See, I disagree, though. I respect not towing the company line and calling it what it is, because it was not an entertaining fight. It was not for the viewers at home. We did not preface this. We're talking about Rose and Carla, obviously.
Yeah,
if that wasn't apparent, we're talking about the strawweight title fight that was arguably the worst title fight of all time. And I respect Rogan not towing the company line there. I respect him calling that what it was. It wasn't a good fight. It wasn't entertaining. Rose fought very timid. She fought not to lose. She didn't fight to win. And to be honest, the way that she's acted following the fight has just, it's like she's trying as hard as she can to just be supremely unlikable. She has been a sore loser. She has not like she's talking about how defense is supposed to win you a fight. If you read the scoring criteria, nowhere in the scoring criteria does defense score. Defense is its own reward in itself. Damage is what scores, and you didn't do any. It's that simple.
I agree with you. And I'm most pissed off at Pat Barry. But what I was saying with Rogan is that I was like, dude, you can't be the same person who defends Woodley and Wonderboy 2.
Fair.
You killed this already. That's all.
Yeah, I would tell Rose to grow up, but Pat Barry would probably divorce her.
Oh my gosh, I'm in trouble with them. I'm not going to get in trouble with them. We could slowly start. I can slowly start to share some stories of them.
we'll share some of those off air, but I mean,
what is with us, Harry? I've been banned from the UFC for 8 months.
My apologies. I couldn't help myself. It's low hanging fruit.
What are we doing? But my point is, it killed me when Pat's like, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. We have her exactly where we want her. And I'm like, what kind of advice is that?
Right. Trevor Whitman telling her she's up four rounds going into the fifth. Like, I mean, Trevor Whitman's a world-class coach. What are you doing, dude? What are you doing? And like, there's no way you can confidently say that you're up four rounds in that fight. That's in either direction.
From her corner. That
right. Right. They're doing her a disservice.
Like, not like, oh my God, if Rose engages, she might lose this fight. Cause Carla, didn't she display in the third round that she could shake off a takedown? She was a nice loser to push Carla away and regain position on the feet. Didn't she prove that? Like that? Isn't that what the announcers always say? Oh, that's a big confidence booster. It's a big confidence booster.
Right, right. You're doing your fighter a disservice if that's your corner work. Seriously.
100%. The rumor is, according to Dana, it could change. It could change. The winner of Joanna Weili Zhang, I think it's the Singapore fight, UFC 276, June 11th or June 4th. I'm not sure exactly.
Sounds about right.
The winner of Joanna Weili 2 fights Carla. Wow.
I like it. I like it. That makes sense.
Not only losing the title, but she has to now, does she have to fight again?
Listen, you don't deserve an immediate rematch off that performance. You don't. You just don't.
Does she have to fight again?
I think the fight to make is Rose Andrade again. You do Rose Andrade, and that's who's second in line after the winner of Weili and Joanna.
Nobody's talking about that. Wow.
I think that makes a lot of sense, does it not?
I don't think anything you said in terms of future matchups for Rose would convince me. Holy moly.
I mean, Andrade coming off an impressive standing submission. Yeah, I think that fight makes a lot of sense. And honestly, I will also add, it's a shame that Weili and Joanna is not going to be a five-rounder. That should absolutely be a five-round fight. I don't care where on the card it is.
Contractual. I think it's obvious if Diaz, both of them actually, if they're like to Sean Shelton, not Hunter Campbell is the guy people have to learn about. The guy looks like Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter. That guy's the mastermind behind all of this. Apparently, he's a law background who handles all the contract negotiations.
Yeah, he's the suit.
Literally the president. Dana White has become Trump. Like, he's literally just a puppet who's like,
right. He's the Roger Goodell. He's the face.
And he's getting lazy now. He's not even doing pressers. John Anik is doing that. So my point is, dude, I freaking love that. And with the five round thing, it's, I think if Diaz is like, hey, can you give us 600K, 800,000, 1 million, 2 million? They're like, well, then you have to fight for five rounds. And I think they would take that every time. I think they think they would have finished the fight. I think that's a contractual thing.
But I think Joanna should be in that same position. She was a great champion for a long time. I think they're trying to build up.
Maybe Joanna wanted more money for five rounds, which is fair.
Probably, which in my opinion she deserves. But that's besides the point. And they're also they're trying to build out the fan base in China, and Weili is huge over there. So I feel like I think it makes sense from a financial standpoint for the company to shell out whatever extra money those two fighters want to give us a rematch of arguably the best strawweight fight in history.
And if Rose fights Andrade, that's a trilogy. If she fights Carla, Weili, Joanna, that's a trilogy. People are going to make fun of this. There is going to be one tweet. There is one tweet for every side of comedy in the MMA.
Of course.
It just shows you how thin the women's division are. I mean, it's only 10 years old.
Right.
Men.
And strawweight is the deepest of all of them.
Yes. And then Rose's trilogy and everybody.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I've long said, man, in my opinion, cut women's 145. They don't even bother. They never bothered to build out that division and add Adam weight, man. Add 105. If you add one, I mean, Carla Esparza would be a long time reigning champion if there was a 105-pound division. And there's just a much deeper talent pool worldwide. You go over to Japan, you go over to Invicta, great, great Adam weight classes. And those ladies have incredible cardio. They put on incredible fights. I would much rather watch an Adam weight women's fight than women's featherweight, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, featherweight is not. Yeah, it's
barren. It's barren. It doesn't exist.
Felicia Spencer's like top three, and she could be.
She retired.
Spencer?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She retired off a win. She was like the only contender in the division.
They pushed her out then. The fact that you're telling me that, and then I find out that Megan Anderson retired as well.
Right. I mean, I think they're planning to fold up the division probably whenever Amanda retires, but it's barren. They never bothered to try and build it.
Wow. Finding all this, these changes, there's no chance that Kayla Harrison comes over to the UFC now.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody talks about, listen, I don't think Kayla has faced the greatest competition in PFL, obviously, but it's not like the UFC has that many better fights for her. It's the Amanda fight, and that's really it. Who else do they have?
Yeah, and Juliana doesn't even want to go up to
right. Bantam. Right. So I don't. I don't know about that one. And I also can't
closing it out now that I'm putting the pieces together. The rematch for Juliana not going up to featherweight. The Felicia Spencer, yeah. Megan Anderson being cut. Yikes.
The writing is on the wall.
I thought they could have done an Ultimate Fighter season. And then you have 16 new featherweights that you could find out. Maybe four of them could keep recycle them within the four others.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like at least PFL is trying to build that women's 155 division. You know what I mean? I mean, they signed Julia Budd. She just lost to Jenna Fabian, who's a very well-credentialed striker out of City Kickboxing. They, you know, the even the woman Kayla fought, like, you know, I know Kayla 30-27 to her, but she was 6-2. She's a 7-time world sambo champion. Marina, oh man, I can't do the last I can't do the last name. Marina,
you got your title, John Anik.
Yeah. I should know this too. I literally write PFL's fucking play-by-play and results articles for their website. I should know this one, but you know what? She's yeah. I got I actually interviewed for a social media position with PFL. I didn't get that job, but they offered me this position writing, doing play-by-play and analysis for all of their fights. So yes, I am
Chamatar Sandhu, if I'm correct, the social media position.
That's quite possible. They said they were going to go with somebody with more like corporate experience than I have, which is perfectly fair because I'm an idiot who's been making it all up as I go along. But I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I very much enjoy that. I enjoy working with everybody there. They're great folks over there. They put on a good show.
Yeah, man. I've been loving your interviews.
Thank you. Yeah, I got my I got my nameplate right here from last year's championship.
Nice.
There you go.
Your front door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be on my office one day.
Well, let's get to the main event, man. Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje, it was a firefight. The tides really turned when Oliveira landed that straight right down the middle. His striking's improved. We all know what he's done on the mat. He gets another finish, another submission, extends his
Charles by sub, greatest. Plus 140.
Was it? That was a plus 140?
Cash it, baby. Yep. And I had Charles by sub in round 1, 2, or 3, plus 180.
Wow, those are great lines. Great lines. So
great odds. Great odds. Couldn't resist them.
Great job by you. Great job by Charles. There is no scale conspiracy, people. Can we please stop with that? I went down a rabbit hole trying to figure out the scale thing. There's no like, this is the highest at the high level. You got the Olympics and the UFC that really lean into the scales and making weight. Come on.
I just think it's so silly that in 2022 we're still using the fucking sliding manual scale. Just use a digital.
Is that supposed to be more accurate?
I think, but it also leaves more room for human error because guys do it quickly, guys do it wrong, guys do this, guys do that. There's just more room for human error.
You know what? I did not appreciate what Ariel Helwani did when he posted that. He goes, "Man, we needed this commission to weigh in Charles Oliveira," and it was the UFC 254 with Khabib.
He's holding the arms. Yep,
good. And it's like, man, that's so messed up, and that's kind of that spits on Khabib's legacy a little, like, because we know about the Khabib issues in the past. I didn't like that by Helwani.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as far as I see it, it's MMA. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. DC had the whole towel gate thing. You know what I mean? Everybody has tried something. Yeah, that was funny. I respected that move. I generally am not a huge DC on commentary guy, but I respected that. And him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame was a nice moment also.
But future Hall of Famer, Charles Oliveira, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the number one contender. It makes total sense.
He's the champ. He's the champ. He's my champion. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about any of that. Charles Oliveira is the best lightweight on planet Earth right now. That's as far as I see it.
And number two, we don't know. But who's deserving of the title shot? Islam Makhachev. And I know you didn't like that. You didn't like that. You made fun of that 42.6%.
No, I wasn't making fun of the 42.6% for Islam. I was making fun of the 42.6% who voted for Conor. Fuck those people. That's who I was making fun of. That is who I was making fun of. I think it's perfectly reasonable to say Islam deserves the next shot. Personally, I would like to see them remake the Dariush fight, make that a true number one contender fight. No. But I have no problem Mr. with
Elon
Islam.
Elon Musk has slipped away. I can hear his Q-tip Tribe Called Quest voice somewhere in the distance. But it's like, no, Islam Makhachev, let's do that. The supreme grappling.
No, I have no problem with that. No problem with that. I do have a problem with 42.6% of people thinking Conor should just waltz into a fucking title fight.
Well, it doesn't help that Charles Oliveira is calling him out. Is everybody that?
That's the money fight, broke? Man. That's the red panty fight. Yes, everyone is that broke. That's the problem, man. That's the fucking problem, guys. I mean, look at Dustin. Dustin turned down a title fight for that red panty night with Conor.
Charles Oliveira would murder Conor McGregor.
Oh, dude, it would be, he would run through him like fucking a hot knife through butter. That would be no contest. What would you cap that at? What do you think the odds would be if that fight happened?
-275 for Charles.
Yeah, I was going to say minus like 250, 260. Same page.
And I like McGregor coming back for RDA. The Diaz fight just seems like it's going to be in a boxing promotion or for Bellator. I like Conor versus RDA. RDA is, he's becoming relevant again. He's getting wins.
Hey, RDA rules, man. That Moicano fight was awesome.
Seems like he figured out 155. He's fought at 170, which Conor is the A side.
He's booked right now. He's booked against Fizzy again.
Oh,
they rebooked that fight, which is going to be awesome. That's an awesome fight. I love Fiziev. I love RDA. That's going to be a banger. But I don't think we see Conor ever fight at 155 again. I think Conor is going to be at 170. I think he's overcutting weight.
Does he fight this year?
It's May already, man. It's May already. If he does, I think it'll be like November, December. I think more likely would be like quarter one, 2023.
And when is Fiziev versus RDA booked for?
That is an excellent question. I want to say July. Let's take a look.
November or December would be fair enough time for RDA. And Conor be coming back from the leg issue.
Yeah, facts. Well, I can't fucking find it. Maybe they haven't announced a date yet and they just announced the fight.
Well, the 155 division, I do like Chandler and Poirier. I like Conor
awesome
versus
fight.
Poirier. I like Makhachev and Charles Oliveira. And
July 9th, that's the phase he's booked for.
I know he's your brother. He's my brother. I know he's all of that. But, dude, you want Charles to go to Abu Dhabi in September to fight Islam?
Yeah, fuck that, dude. That Charles deserves a title fight in Brazil, first of all.
You know, a lot of people are questioning if Islam deserves it. You put the fight in Brazil, I think that weighs the scales in terms of deserving. Charles wants the fight in Brazil. You know, he's not the clear-cut number one contender, but he should be next. Terms, look, put it in Brazil, it's fair.
If you're willing to go into Brazil and fight Charles Oliveira, all respect to you, for sure. But yeah, July 9th is that RDA fight.
Okay. So then, yeah, November 4 or 5, December 4 or 5 months after that.
Yeah, that's a reasonable turnaround.
And there's so much, there's still something there. I forget which fight where they cross paths. It might have been with the Poirier fight when McGregor was in Vegas, when he saw RDA again.
Yo, we're doing now.
There's still steam there. I definitely want to see that. You know, the UFC is going to pull out like all the footage. They're going to show that angle where McGregor's got He takes off the glasses and he's got the Hawaiian shirt on.
That was a power look, Ike. That was a powerful look you just gave. You gave me goosebumps.
I sold you. See? UFC 197. Oh my gosh.
There's so many options at lightweight.
Now we lost steam a little here. I think we slowed down. This is what I want to incorporate: commercial breaks, people. I want to bring back what you guys loved about your childhood, which was commercial breaks, especially in radio and TV. God bless Joe Rogan for doing the 2 to 3, sometimes 4.5 hour podcast nonstop without pissing the dude's a camel. Yeah, I think commercial breaks can be good for certain mediums. I think, I don't know. I'm losing a little steam, man. You seem refreshed. Do you have the kid video on call? Can you share the screen?
Of course, of course. I'm always queued up. Share screen. What the fuck? Calendar, finder, whiteboard. Why is this?
We are hiring for producer.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Allow Zoom to share your screen.
Your payment will be you get to see the content before it's posted.
That's right. That's right. As I've told Ike many, many times so far, not a technology guy.
I see.
Zoom will not be able to record the content.
I can share the screen. Oh, wait.
I have to quit and reopen to share the screen.
You send me the link.
All right. Yeah. That's exactly what I was about to do. Okay.
You know how to send the link.
Yeah. I put it in the Zoom chat. Meanwhile, yeah, I got Adrian Yanez, the next.
Had a freaking Zoom chat. Okay.
I got Adrian Yanez clamoring to be the next guy who punches me in the stomach when the next time he's up in New York. So that'll be a blast, I'm sure.
Now, speaking of loyalty, what the hell? And again, I expect us for the Harry and Gary shows call each other to the carpet. And to call each other out if need be.
Of course.
Okay. So what the hell is going on with this love for Patty Pimlet on your end? I'm not talking about Aljo's. Yeah, I could call Aljo to the carpet. But what's going on with Patty Pimlet?
I made Patty a video. Pimola,
my neighbor.
I made a video.
You did a digital show
calling out Patty Pimlet.
An MMA junkie. And now you're out here loving what Patty the Fatty and Meatball Molly are doing.
I would like you to cite your sources, sir. I would like to see some proof of these allegations.
Oh God, the Jew in you is speaking now. We're
buddy, I work in law for my full time job. Don't you test me. Dude, you better. I'm a paralegal. You better come
Holy
with the receipts.
Shit.
Since I was 8 years old, I've had Jewish relatives telling me, "Oh, Harry Harrison, you'll make a great lawyer one day."
What? You're telling me you wear a suit?
Not these days. I work from home these days. Fucking A. But when I gotta.
Okay, now that I'm thinking, your Twitter profile, you did not have the beard. So that was pre-pandemic.
No, that was
Wait, did you have a beard or not?
I think I do. That was at one of those PFL shows last summer.
All right, moving on, Mr. Paralegal. And next episode, we're going to get into your favorite law movies, so be ready for that. Not Law MMA on Commercial Avenue, law movies. I'm talking about The Firm, The Rainmaker.
12 Angry Men.
The Night Of, that will count, even though it's a series or a short series.
Fair.
Here
but
we go.
Yes, this is,
John
this
Turturro
is
killed
part him. Of a new... This is part of a new series that I am working on called Hit Me With Your Best Shot, because I think a lot of MMA fans, they sit at home and they watch these fights and they think, you know what? Like, that can't be that bad. That can't possibly be that fucking brutal. I assure you it is. I promise you it is. And this is what it looks like when a regular schmuck gets hit by a fucking 5-0 undefeated professional Bellator fighter.
And boxing is his best part, his best discipline.
Yep, that's right. I mean, they don't call him the body snatcher for nothing.
So, yeah, just did a documentary on Justin the Kid, Montavo.
Great stuff.
The Gray Area. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate that. This guy has the best body shots, possibly the best boxing in MMA. He's basically the Diaz brothers with power. So basically Nick Diaz. If Nick,
I mean,
Diaz,
what he's finished three fights with this punch.
And now Harry decides to take the punch.
As always, with the body snatcher, Justin Montalvo, Kit Marvelous, he's going to hit me with his best shot.
Don't try it at home. Don't try it at home.
Nice mustache, too.
He got me good. He got me good.
You got the people looking in the class. Look at the guy with the Hayabusa.
Yeah, yeah. Poor Sully just trying to teach jujitsu.
Is this Manimal's class?
Nah, Sully. That face. The face is brutal. Dude, somebody else said that. Somebody commented on the video and was like, I like Yoel shaking his arms out. Nah, Ian's good people. We got the Funk Monster, Kelvin Sterling. We got Shalev Batesh. Fucking whole mat full of killers.
Funk Monster money.
Yeah, Kel decided to stomp me out for good measure.
Okay, and where can people find wonderful content?
Yeah, so if you're enjoying what you're hearing here, and obviously you are, you can find all of my content and along with all of our gambling winners in every sport under the sun, curated by the brightest minds on the internet at the www.thebookiesbasement.com. You can find me on Instagram at thebookies_basement. And that is where all my content lives. You can also find it on Twitter at bbharrymack. And yes, there will be plenty more of that to come. I got a couple more of those in the works. I'm trying to take one of those legendary cannibal leg kicks.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to suck, but it's going to be good. It's going to be some good stuff.
Whoa. When is the plan for that?
We got to figure it out. But I mean, dude, this one was just like, we finished practice one day and me and Kid had DM'd about this on the side. And I was just like, I got my camera. You want to do it? He was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. So it'll probably be something like that.
Did he let you know percentage wise of how much she unleashed?
He did not. I mean, listen, it definitely wasn't 100%, but I told him, don't pull that shit. I told him, don't pull that shit. I want to feel it. And he was very, very good about it. Had my arms in the air, made sure he didn't break my fucking ribs, because he absolutely would have if he hit him. But
are you serious?
Oh, yeah. No, he like lined it up and made sure that I was positioned so that he would not hit me in the ribs, because that punch absolutely would have broken one of my brittle ass bones.
Would you rather an MMA punch, a 4-ounce glove punch to your arm or the boxing glove to your stomach?
Ooh. Probably the MMA glove to the arm.
Okay.
Probably the MMA glove to the arm. Almost anywhere else, I'm probably taking the boxing glove. Now, on the arm, I've taken that before, you know?
Is Charlie going shin guard with this leg kick?
That's a good question. That's probably what will happen, because, I mean, I would feel like the biggest piece of shit on earth if in some freak incident Charlie managed to hurt him. Well, if he cracks my femur, or if he hurt himself kicking me so fucking hard.
This happened once before, where a media guy and an MMA fighter by the name of Forrest Griffin. Did you ever see that video?
I can't say I have, but Jesus, that's a bold man. That's a brave man.
And Forrest Griffin has baseball bats. And that's one of the biggest guys to make 205. He kicked this reporter, and the reporter starts like nervously laughing, and Forrest is dying laughing with that chuckle. Brian Battle is his son. I don't care what anybody says. But yeah, he cracked the guy's femur.
Jesus Christ. I mean, dude, Charlie hit me with one at like 30% once when we were training together, and it left a monster bruise on my leg. And it was, I mean, he touched me. It was nothing.
Okay. Here we go. This is the Forrest Griffin. Yeah, and he didn't tell him. He was a dick about this.
Oh. Oh.
Crack the femur.
You can hear it too. You can hear it. Oh.
And that guy, you see him shaking it off? He's like nervously smiling.
Jesus Christ.
And you hear four is not that bad, right?
My goodness.
That's messed up because he didn't tell him about it. He didn't tell me he was gonna
see that. I think that's the big difference. I think I would be less worried about like seriously hurting myself if I'm prepared and at least like tensed up and shit. But also, yeah, could very easily just snap my leg like a fucking toothpick.
Well, on that note, until next time, it's the Harry and Gary Show. Harry, this has been fun.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Dude, we got a lot to say, man.
I know. I feel like I get tangents is going to be a recurring theme.
I know. And in the radio business, you have to fill the segments, the three segments. You have to make it to the 20 and the 40s.
Right.
Spots. So you have to do about 12 to 15 minute segments on one topic. That's the rule, to do one topic. And then you hope in the commercial break, when you come back from the commercial break, you take callers on that topic. Hey, how you doing, bro? Dope and Ingo here.
And first time, long time.
That's the rule. They would kill us for the tangents. So I don't know.
Yeah, we can maybe work on a little more structure next time.
Tangents and tangents and tangents. But it's been fun, my brother.
Yeah, for sure. I the one thing about tangents is I think tangents are good because it's natural. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you're not forcing anything.
That is a good point.
Like, that all felt very, very loose. Like you said, chemistry, very, very free flowing.
Till next time. Peace.
Until next time.